भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today's reading is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, and there are many texts, text 29 through to the end of the chapter, about 10 verses. So we can all read the 9 verses ahead, and then the last verse we'll all do responsibly. Okay, it's a lot of verses.
अथ गोपै परिवृतो भगवान् देवकी सुत वृन्दावनार्गतो दूरं चारयन् गासः गज निदघर्कातपे तिग्मे छायाभि स्वाभिरात्मनः आतपत्रायितान् वीक्ष्य द्रुमान् आह व्रजौकशः हे स्तोक कृष्ण हे हंसो श्रीदामन सुबलार्जुन विशाल वृषभौ जस्विन देव प्रष्टवरुथप पश्य चैतान महाभागान परार्थैकान्त जीवतान वातावर्षातप हिमान सहन्तो वारयन्ति नः आहो वेशां वरं जन्म सर्वा प्राण्युपजीवनं सुजनस्येव येषां वै विमुखा यान्ति नार्तिनः पत्रपुष्पफलछाया मूलवल्कलदारुवे गन्धनिर्यासभस्मास्ति तोक्मै कामान् वितन्वते एतवज्जन्म साफल्यं देहिनां इह देहिषु प्राणैरर्थैर्दियवाच श्रेय आचरणं सदा इति प्रवालास्तवक फलपुष्पदलोत्करै तरुणां नम्रशाकानां मध्यतो जमुनां गतः तत्र गपयित्वा पा सुमृष्टा शीतला शिवा ततो नृप स्वयं गोपा कामं स्वाधूपपूर्जलम् तस्य उपवने कामं चारयन्त पशून् नृपा कृष्णरामाव्युपागम्य शुधार्ता इदमब्रुवन्
ओके दट्स् द लास्ट् वन् एण्ड् मदन् मोहन् प्रभु विल् गिव् द क्लास्
Jai Shri Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Grantara, Srimad Bhagavatam, text 29. Okay, translation, and purports, some of them by Srila Prabhupada directly and some by his disciples. Sometime later, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by the cowherd, by his cowherd friends, and accompanied by his elder brother, Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. So we just finished up Krishna with the gopis in their clothes, And now there's a transition. So here's our transitional verses. Purport. Having described how Lord Krishna stole the garments of the young gopis, Sukadeva Goswami now begins introducing the description of Lord Krishna's blessings upon the wives of the ritualistic brahmanas. Translation to number 30. The sun's heat became intense. Lord Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him, and thus he spoke as follows to his friends. Lord Krishna said, O Stoka Krishna, O Amshu, O Sridhama, Subala, Arjun, O Vrishabha, O Jisvi, Deva Prastha, and Vara Tapa, just see these greatly fortunate trees whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others, even while tolerating the wind, heat, rain, and snow, they protect us from these elements. Purport. Lord Krishna was prepared to bestow his mercy on the wives of the hard-hearted ritualistic brahmanas, and in these verses the Lord indicates that even trees who are dedicated to the welfare of others are superior to the Brahmins who are not. Certainly the members of the Krishna conscious movement should soberly study this point. So that's going to be what we're going to try to soberly study this point today. Which point is that? The point is, let's see. Even trees who are dedicated to the welfare of others are superior to Brahmins who are not. So this is the point that we're going to be trying to perceive here. Translation to 33. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree, never goes away disappointed. And it says, this translation is a quote from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 9, text 46. So since this is a translation from Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, I thought it would be nice that we went to that and read his purport to this verse. Did you do the jump link on the bottom there? Okay. So that's the verse. I got it. And here's the... Okay. And we'll read the verse again and the purport. Looks like it's the same. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. And anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. So here's Lord Chaitanya. He's talking to his devotees. And he's quoting this. He's speaking this verse. Or he's quoting this verse. According to the Vedic civilization, Kshatriyas are considered to be great personalities because if anyone goes to Kshatriya king to ask for charity, the king will never refuse. We've seen that even demon kings never refuse. The trees are compared to these noble Kshatriyas because everyone derives all kinds of benefits from them. Some people take the fruit, others take the flowers, others take the leaves, others take the twigs, and even cut the tree, and yet the tree gives everyone without hesitation. Second paragraph. Unnecessarily cutting trees without consideration is another example of human debauchery. The paper industry cuts hundreds and thousands of trees for its mills, and with that paper, so much rubbish, literature, places, pilgrimage for crows, you know, is published for the whimsical satisfaction of human society. Unfortunately, although these industrialists are now happy in this life by dint of their industrial development, they do not know that they will incur the responsibility for killing these living entities who are in the form of trees. This verse is quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken by Lord Krishna to his friends when he was taking rest underneath a tree after his pastime of stealing the clothes of the gopis in the Vishtra Hararan Lila. By quoting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should be tolerant like a tree. Everybody remembers the Sakshastaka prayers as soon as you hear that. And also beneficial like trees, which give everything to the needy persons who come underneath them. A needy person may derive many advantages from trees and also from many animals. But in modern civilization, people have become so ungrateful that they exploit the trees and the animals and kill them. These are some of the sinful activities of the modern culture. I just want to read the next verse, though, since Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, text number 47 of the Adi Lila, chapter 9. The descendants of these trees, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I thought that was specifically interesting. The descendants of these trees, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. So this verse is actually an order directly from the Lord. Where do we hear this every day? Who knows how we hear this every day as part of our sadhana? Anybody want to raise their hand except Nagaraj? Every day we hear this. Hey, there we go. Somebody said it. You want to say it louder? Adudrascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnevivyo namo namaha. So there we are. The devotees are the descendants of these trees. And they're just like the desire trees, these vanchakopa. What's in the roots of these desire trees? Six Goswami says there's valuable jewels under these roots. All right, so this purport to this, and then we'll go back. It is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of the Sankirtan movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago in Navadvip, be spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. Unfortunately, there are so many so-called followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are satisfied simply to construct a temple and make a show of the deities, collect some funds, and utilize them for eating and sleeping. There is no question of them preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But even though they are unable to do so, if someone else does it, they become envious. This is the condition of modern followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the age of Kali, the age of Kali is so strong that it affects even the so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya. At least the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must come out of India to preach this cult all over the world, for this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. The followers of Lord Chaitanya must execute his will with his heart and soul, being more tolerant than trees and humbler than the straw on the street. Now back to the Bhagavatam version. Just see how this is in these verses. Now, who would have seen that when we were just reading this without how Lord Chaitanya, these jump links are so incredible. So, let's see. We're up to text 33, right? Just see how these trees maintain every living entity. Their birth is successful. Oh, that's the one we just did. Next verse, 34. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, flowers, and fruits, their shade, roots, bark, and wood, and also with their fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. Okay. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So, where do we read that one yet? Maybe we could jump to that one too. That such incredible verses here. Here's Krishna saying it to his friends, and here's Lord Chaitanya saying it to us, to his devotees, trying to be. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words. Purport. There are two kinds of general activities, shreyas, or activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and prayas, or those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, children are very fond of playing. They don't want to go to school to receive an education, and they think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. He was very fond even in transcendental life. Lord Krishna, we find, when he was a child, he was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, and the cowherd boys. He would not even go home to take dinner. Mother Yasoda would have to come out and induce him to come home. Thus it is a child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for his health and other important concerns. This is an example of prayas, or immediate beneficial activities. But there are also shreyas, or activities which are ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God-conscious. He should understand what God is, what this material world is, and who he is, and what is his interrelation, what their interrelationships are. This is called shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activities. In this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should understand shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, his wealth, and his words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach shreyas to others. This verse, cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, applies to human beings, not to animals, as indicated in the previous words by the word manasu janma. Manasa janma. Sounds familiar. Is that Prahlad Maharaj's verse? Is that from Prahlad Maharaj? I think so. Manasu. Oh, that one. Okay. Thank you. This injunction is for unfortunate human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. Modern educators do not know the aim of human life. They are simply concerned with how to develop the economic development of their countries or human society, specifically themselves. This is also necessary. The Vedic civilization considers all aspects of human life, including dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money. For economic development, one does not need to get money by hook or crook. One needs only sufficient money to maintain his body and soul. However, because modern Economic development is going on with no religious background. People have become lusty, greedy, and mad after money. They are simply developing the qualities of Rajas, passion, and Tamas, ignorance, neglecting the other quality of nature, sattva, and the brahminical qualifications. Therefore, the whole human society is in chaos. The Bhagavatam says, that is the duty of an advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's development to the ultimate goal of life. There is a similar verse in the Vishnu Purana, part 3, chapter 12, verse 45, which is quoted in this chapter. So now we're back again to trying to read these enormous amount of verses and purports. Okay, we're up to 36. Only another four more verses to go. Thus moving amongst trees, those branches were bent low by their abundance of twigs, fruits, flowers, and leaves. Lord Krishna came to the Yamuna River. The cowherd boys let the cows drink the clear, cool, and wholesome water, the Yamuna. O Maharaj Bricket, the cowherd boys themselves also drank the sweet water to their full satisfaction. Then, O King, the cowherd boys began herding the animals in a leisurely way within a small forest amongst Yamuna. But some of them became afflicted by hunger and approached Krishna and Balaram and spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the cowherd boys were concerned that Krishna would be hungry, and thus they feigned their own hunger so Krishna and Balaram would make suitable arrangements to eat. Thus ends the purport of the humble servant of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Steals the Garments of the Unmarried Gopis. Okay. Do we have any questions or comments? Time is 8:30. Okay. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Tanatanasalakaya Chaksus Meditanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Materika Ti Matsarva Svapatam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano. So, I got 4.5 hours prepared to give this class. We'll see what we can do. We got 10 minutes. Okay, so this is Krishna explaining to the cowherd boys something for us all so we can become happy. Anyone like to be happy? It is our nature to be happy. So, let's see. Who would like to be loved and to love? Anybody here would like to do that? Be loved and love? Yes. Why is that? This is our nature. This is what's called Dharma. I was looking up Dharma the other day, and I came across these lectures of Prabhupada where he was explaining this, because all that we're doing in Krishna consciousness is we're dedicating our lives to this principle of developing, reawakening our dormant love, which is natural in every one of us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. This is the nature of the soul. So Prabhupada is speaking. He says, but real identification is, as I've already explained to you, aham brahmasmi. I am the spirit soul. So when you come to the platform of spiritual understanding, then our characteristic should be manifest. What is that? What is that? Is explained. Savai pumso paro dharma yato bhaktir ahoksajay. So we're learning this unconditional. You know, unconditional love means in any circumstance, you can stay loving and being loved. There isn't anything that can take us away from that position. This is what we all want. And we're actually learning this. This is this verse where it's talking about, just like in today, they're saying there's material dharma and there's spiritual dharma. So your spiritual nature is to stay. What's it feel like? When someone is, even in the material world, when they have love in their heart, everything changes. Their tolerance changes, their forgiveness changes, their compassion changes, their tolerance. Everything about that person is different. And when love is absent, what is it like? Where's their mercy? Where's their kindness? They're usually mean, hard-hearted, selfish. So all these qualities, even in the material sense, we see when it's present, what's not present. So we're learning this is our nature. This is our spiritual nature, is to stay in that condition unconditionally. So we're learning how one can stay in a perfect loving condition no matter what condition comes up. Does that sound good? No matter what. There isn't anything that can move you from that condition. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining. This is in Hyderabad, November 26, 1972. He quotes this verse of 1, 2, 6. Bhakti, to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord. That is our real characteristic. Become a devotee is already manifest. I am a devotee to my country. I am a devotee to my society. I am a devotee to my family. I am a devotee to my husband, to my wife, to my children. So devotion is already there, but it is not paro dharma. So Prabhupada is hooking this up, that this devotion, this is dharma, but it's not paro dharma. So now we're making this, clarifying it. When we become a devotee of the Supreme Lord, that is our real characteristic. Devotion is already there. Service is already there. No one can say, I do not serve anyone. No, that is not possible. You must serve, because that is your characteristic. That is your dharma. Everyone is serving. Even a person who has nobody to serve, he keeps a cat, he keeps a dog, and he serves them. So to give service, to love someone else, that is my real characteristic. But I am missing the point. I am loving cats and dogs and so many other things, but I am missing to love God. That is the missing point. Love is there, object of love is there, but what is missing, therefore? But it is misplaced. Love is there, but it is misplaced. Therefore, you are not getting happiness. When it will be properly placed, love, the object of love, then you'll be happy. This is the explanation of the verse, Savai Pumso Paro Dharma. So he says, two kinds of nature, para, aparar. So there, Prabhupada is explaining that here's the nature of these trees. They're serving. They're great personalities because they're serving. They're serving with every aspect of their nature. What part of a tree doesn't do service? Even when it dies, they make lumber out of it to build your house. To build our houses, they're giving shelter. And then if you need to heat your house, you take the same wood and you can burn it, and it'll heat your house. So every aspect of this tree. So they're pointing out how devotees were descendants of the trees, Vanchakopa. We're to be these desire trees, to fulfill the desire of everyone. And what is that desire? The desire is to be loved and to love. Those are our desire, to love and to be loved. That's what everybody's looking for. And what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Right away, he says it in the 12th chapter. What's he say here? I'm going to read it since memory is questionable. Okay. Chapter 12. I'm going to start with 13 and 14. He who is not envious, nirmatsaranam, first thing, but is a kind friend to all living entities. He doesn't think himself a proprietor. He's free from false ego, identifying himself as a product of matter, who is equal both in happiness and distress, who's tolerant, more tolerant than a what? A tree, he says, who's always satisfied. How is it that he's satisfied? He's satisfied because he's, three things happen at the same time. You know what those three things are? Who's memorized that verse? 11.2.42. Anybody know that? Bhakti, Paraisha, Anubhava, Taraka. Hey, somebody's saying it. Ah, okay. Well, we got at least the first three or four words. That's as far as I went. It means bhakti, devotion. Paraisha, Anubhava means direct perception of Krishna. Paraisha, the Paraishwar, Paraisha, Anubhava, the bhava, the feeling is the same. You're, when you, there's a oneness that happens in love. And that oneness is a very amazing phenomenon. So achinta, bheda, bheda, tattva, we're simultaneously one with and different from Krishna, because the difference has to be there for the exchange of love. That's why there's two. But they're the same because Krishna and the living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. He's not made of anything else. He's never separated from Krishna. So, and when that happens, he has that direct perception. It's just like it says when the sun comes out, you can see yourself. So when you understand Krishna, then you can understand yourself. You can understand what this material nature is. You can understand why we're here suffering in the material energy. I call it love rehab. That while we're here learning our different lessons, how to once again come to our correct understanding and have this. Oh, I was reading this verse. Okay, always satisfied. Well, the last part of that was, I'm jumping around a little bit. I get excited sometimes. That direct perception and detachment from all other things. There really isn't anything else, but he's detached from that idea that there's something else. So he's in, just like for someone who takes shelter of Krishna, for one who's taking shelter of Krishna, these things happen. Just like if someone eats, they get satisfaction, nourishment, and they don't want to eat anymore, they're full. So, satisfied. Self-controlled. Self-controlled, he sees, we're consciousness. Most people, when they think of consciousness, they think that's the voice that speaks to them inside their head. That's the mind. But we understand the consciousness is not the mind. The mind has a particular channel, wavelength. You can recognize your mind separate from consciousness by just knowing the characteristics of what the mind says. Just like we have these speakers up here on the walls, and all the sound comes out of these speakers. But who's got the microphone? Different people have the microphone, and different things come out of these speakers. So the voice inside our head is like these speakers. You just hear it, but you have to see who's got the microphone, who's talking. So one can understand the mind by its characteristics. The mind's going to say, you should get some sense gratification. It's a spokesman for the senses. You deserve this. You should have this. And he's a representative of the false ego that's separating, it's the darkness of the material nature influenced by the envy of Matsara. And that's another class, and we're almost over. He's self-controlled. Of course, self That's almost a pun, self-controlled. He's controlled by the internal potency, Astatara Sata, 108. So this is this self-control. It's always funny, this self, like Atmarama. Is that the big A or the little A? You know, he's satisfied. Why? Anyway, Krishna uses so many puns all the time. He's always used the way you can take the words. And it's because it's in a code for you, according to your intention, you can see different things. So when your intention, Yasha Devi Para Bhaktir, is to please the spiritual master and Krishna, then all the purports are given to you in that light of that realization. Okay, so it says, self-control, engaged in devotional service with determination. That determination means that you're going to make it. That determination means you're going to make it. And we're learning. How do you know what something is unless you experience it? Well, you can hear about it. So generally we are hearing about it, but also when we experience, oh, that's the mind. Oh, that's what they're talking about, sense gratification. Oh, that's the bodily conception of life. Now I know, boy, that's hard. I'm supposed to not listen to that. I really want that. No, that's the mind. So now you start to realize that. And if you pick the right Shreyas instead of Prayas, and you say, I'm going to keep going on doing the right thing in this difficult situation. You controlled your mind, you controlled your senses, you developed tolerance. You're pleasing Krishna right in this verse. He says, I'll finish the verse. And engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee is very dear to me. So that's the whole thing that we're trying to do. And in this verse today, he was giving us the inside scoop. Just by sitting under a tree, Krishna, sitting under a tree, talking to his cowherd friends, has given us volumes of information, more confidential than even all the Vedas, just in a casual conversation, sitting under a tree with his friends. And then just one more thing I would like to read. This is from Srila Prabhupada, a lecture to college students in Seattle, Washington, on October 20th, 1968. So these are for new people in a college situation. And listen to what he explains. It's so amazing how Prabhupada, genius in his... because he loves so much Krishna that all the living entities... He's begging Krishna in their hearts to make them receptive to hear this message, Tano Pachodia, that this, where he asks for blessings from the internal potency to be able to hear. Because this hearing, this is Krishna directly. This internal potency hearing is not ordinary hearing. So we have to be empowered to hear. And we pray for that. It's one translation of the first line of the Gayatri, if in a subtler platform. So, the purpose of religion is to train persons how to love God. That's what he says. That's our purpose. This is what we're doing. We're all being trained up how to love Krishna. This is the purpose of all religion. Either you take to Christianity, or Hinduism, or any ism. The purport is you try to love God because that is your natural inclination. Even in uncivilized society, when there is some thunderbolt, they immediately offer obeisances. That is natural. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Sabai Pumso Parar Dharmaro Yato Bhaktir Hoksajay. Now, this word dharma is translated or explained in the English dictionary as religion, as a kind of faith. But in Sanskrit dictionary, dharma means the characteristic. Just like sugar, sugar's characteristic is sweetness. If you are given some sugar and you find that it is not sweet, you once reject it. This is not sugar, it is something else. So that sweetness is the characteristic of sugar. Similarly, sour taste, that is characteristic of salt. Pungency, That's a characteristic of Chile. Similarly, what is your characteristic, living entity? That you have to study. That is your religion, not the Christian religion, Hindu religion, this religion or that religion. Your eternal characteristic. What is your eternal characteristic? You want to love someone, and therefore you want to serve. That is your characteristic. You want your society, you love your society, you love your family, you love your country, you love your community, because it's love, therefore you serve. That is your characteristic. So I didn't make it up. There it is. Prabhupada said that. And that's what we're being trained, how to do that in any circumstance and any time. Ahoy taki apatiyata. It cannot be interrupted, and it doesn't have any motivation, which means it can't be interrupted also, because there isn't anything else that you want to do more than that. And in order to chant the holy name, which is our process of today, we read that Krishna is pleased when you chant his name. So imagine that. Can you please, like, suppose you wanted to please somebody, like a man wants to please a woman please a man, or maybe you want to please the president, or maybe you want to please somebody, especially a rich, how about a big movie star? Oh, such a wonderful movie star. How could you please? You can't even get to them. You couldn't write them a letter. You couldn't do anything for them to notice you. You're insignificant. But suppose you wanted to please Krishna. How insignificant. Where is Krishna? Where am I? You know, how could I ever do anything to please Krishna? Lord Chaitanya says, you can please Krishna simply by saying his name and put devotion in it. Say it with love. He'll recognize that. He'll recognize you and he'll be pleased. So when we're chanting in kirtan, when we're chanting in japa, very easy meditation to do. I'm doing this to please you. You're pleased when I do this. That's enough for me. I'm just doing this to please you. And just like we notice, if somebody, what attracts you to someone? Maybe the way they look. Maybe the way they move. So they have dances, so they can watch each other move, and it gives somebody happiness. So Krishna says, move for me. Do some moving for me, and I'm pleased to see how you're moving to please me. And that's called dancing. So we chant and we dance for the pleasure of Krishna. And now when you're dancing for the pleasure of Krishna, where is Krishna? He's on the altar, but where else? Is he also with every one of us? Where is he? He's with every one of us. Now you're dancing and Krishna is with everyone. Does this sound familiar to anything, like anything else? What is it? Krishna is with everyone dancing. Prabhupada had said, the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, what is it? Sanatani? Oh, rasa dance. Yes, very nice. So the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to enter into the rasa dance. So you're chanting, just change the consciousness. That's all we have to do. So when we come before the deity, when we come and chant our japa, especially that we have a short kirtan, maybe 15, 20 minutes for the deities. Some people walk out, just walk out and chant japa. Some people walk out and talk, but they walk out. This is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sang. What's the sang part mean? Yeah, sang with everybody. It's a whole group of us. Everybody does it. This is our community. This is our community activity we're doing together, is everybody chanting and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. And if you do that, subtly you'll start to see that this is what's going on. Krishna is with you. You're doing it just for his pleasure. That's all. You can please Krishna. Imagine that. You can do something that Krishna will be pleased. That's not ordinarily a very simple thing to do. So anyway, this is what's going on. And in the next chapter, it goes to show how Dharma, more about the Sarva Dharma. It's just almost every one of these points can be brought up to the Sarva Dharma. Krishna wants to see your love for him, not that the rules are meant to bring you to that. It's like a niyamagraha. If you're following the rules and you're not focused on loving Krishna, dancing for Krishna, pleasing Krishna, then you could be getting a case of niyamagraha. All right. Any questions or comments? Oh, we got one over there. We got two over there. Thank you for giving me some attention. Oh, we're also going to say Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Kevala Nandakan. You know who said Vishvam Purna Sukhayate? Who knows the verse? Prabhupananda Saraswati, is it? And you know who his nephew was? Gopalbhatta Goswami, who's, I didn't mention till now. Yes, please.
Just a comment about two things that stood out for me. Thank you, the class was very nice. That the importance of service to others and being like the tree. And also that the cowherd boys, in the end, it said that they feigned hunger. So they even their hunger is for Krishna, because they're thinking maybe Krishna's hungry. And that was just very sweet.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They knew that Krishna wouldn't ask for himself. So they said, we'll pretend we're hungry, because Krishna is Bhakti Vatsal. He likes to glorify his devotees. So he's glorifying the trees now. Krishna's always glorifying his devotees. He can glorify even Putana, find some good quality in her, which that you really have to try hard to do to get some of that. So he could do that. So in everybody we can see some good quality and glorify that. And Mother Sukhada, did you want to say something? Okay. And then Chivikra.
I was also taken by with how much Prabhupada talked about trees, you know, and how much service they give. And I couldn't help but think of a children's book that is very well read. Probably most of the youth here know it. It's called The Giving Tree. And I'll just do it really quickly. But it's about a young boy and a tree, and how this boy, when he's young, you know, uses it for shade. As he gets a little older, he plays in the branches. He gets a little older and he needs money. And he would always come and kind of confide in the tree, you know, what his problems were. And the tree said, well, you know, take my apples. So he takes apples by the bushels and sells them and gets the money he needs. Then one day he comes back and says how he wants to get married, you know. And so, and he needs to build a house. So the tree says, well, here you go, you know. You can take my branches. And ultimately, he also takes the trunk, you know, to build his house for his family. And the tree doesn't see him for a long time until finally he comes back as an old man and says that, you know, everything's finished, he's about ready to die. And the tree says, well, here, just sit down on my stump, you know. And that's how the book ends, with the old man sitting on the stump of the tree. But I just thought that illustrated so well.
I thought he would have also mentioned, you can either build my casket, or you can use me.
Next chapter.
If you're in the Eastern culture, you can take my wood and make the funeral pyre.
I think it's Longfellow.
So now Trivikram has the last question, and then we'll end in a timely fashion.
In some ways, we're like descendants of trees also, because when the purchasers were under the water, when they came out, there were so many trees, and they started to kill them. So the trees, in order to pacify the purchasers, gave them their daughter, Marisha. So from the purchasers and Marisha, Daksha was born. And Daksha is the progenitor of mankind.
Well, that was a wonderful way to actually connect it up. So it wasn't just figuratively speaking. Yeah. It was actually the way that it took place.
There's a nice story how Marisha was born, but another time.
So when Lord Chaitanya says something, he's not just like, what do they call it, perperbulate, just exaggerating or saying something. Actually, everything is there. You need a tribute crown to explain that. Thank you very much, Jai. Oh, we got one more.
Yeah. Since you're talking about trees, you know, Nagaraj was brought up about a month ago about the tree bark and the aesthetics.
So okay.
So I looked it up, and actually you can make cloth out of the inner bark of ficus trees. And in third world, tropical countries, they still do it, like in Indonesia. And actually I found this place in Belgium, this hotty-totty, you know, they're marketing this tree bark as a cloth for decorating houses, and they have villages in Africa that are harvesting the. So you could, you know, get a wardrobe from trees too.
It's something like burlap, isn't it? It's a coarse fiber.
Yeah, I actually got some samples from that place in Belgium. It's actually you can make a cloth. It's a little coarse, and a tree survives the. Wrap it in banana leaves like a big band-aid.
Because like when you have burlap, they generally used to make sacks out of it. Now they're probably plastic, but burlap bags, we grew up with those, and it was a cloth, but it was kind of coarse. Thank you very much. All glories, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.